You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Having survived the horrors of the genocide that ravaged their homeland from 1915 through 1923, many Armenians took refuge in European countries, with Paris being one of those safe havens until World War II. In her novel, All the Light There Was, Nancy Krikorian tells the story of the Pegorian family during the Nazi occupation. Ms. Krikorian, who is also a widely published essayist and activist, joins us now. Her novel is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show. Was this inspired by a family story?
This was not actually inspired by family story. What happened, I was doing research for my second novel, which has a Marxist-Leninist revolutionary with a bomb in it. So I started doing all this research on different groups that use political violence, everything from the Symbionese Liberation Army to the Red Army Brigade to the French Resistance. And while I was doing reading about the French Resistance, I came across the story of a French resistance network that was headed by an Armenian communist poet carpenter named Misak Manouchian. And when I was reading about his story, I started thinking, wondering what it had been like for all these Armenian genocide survivors in the community when the Nazis had sort of marched into Paris.
And you've included Misak Manouchian in this novel?
Just very briefly, yeah. Yes.
Although, and you've also had somebody named after him. But there's a documentary, isn't there, Terrorists in
yes,
Retirement?
Yes, the 1984 French documentary called Terrorists in Retirement. And most of the people in the resistance network were Eastern European Jews, Armenians, refugees from Spain and Italy.
Now, obviously, communists were opposed to the Nazis. But how did the French-Armenian poet Misak Manouchian become the leader of the French communist resistance?
He wasn't the leader of the entire resistance. It was just one specific group, which was called, in French, it was like the immigrant workers section of the partisan snipers. So it was all immigrant workers, and he was one of the older and more experienced people in the group, which is how he became the leader.
I haven't heard much about the Armenian experience in France until now. Was this hard to research?
It was actually a complete pleasure and completely fascinating. I read lots and lots of books in general about France during the occupation, and then I found, for example, the memoir by Charles Aznavour. Their family name was Aznavourian. He's a famous French entertainer, but his family was actually Armenian. And I read his memoir, his sister's memoir, and then I read memoirs by people who were in the Manouchian group, and I actually went and interviewed Armenians in their 80s and 90s who had been in the resistance.
Charles Aznavour and his family helped the resistance movement by inviting people into their homes. Armenians and others who had been sent to France to work for the Germans and who escaped?
What had happened was there were some Soviet Armenian troops that were captured by the Germans and put into POW camps in Poland, and they were pressed into the Wehrmacht, and the Germans didn't trust them on the Eastern Front, so they sent them to France to work on the fortifications along the coast. And when they would come on leave to Paris, they would have, you know, compatriotic evenings with the Armenians all together, and the Aznavourians would invite these Armenians who were in German uniform to their homes and try to convince them to go AWOL and join the resistance. And Charles Aznavour, who was 17 or 18 at the time, his job was to take the uniforms and throw them in the sewers of Paris after curfew.
How large was the Armenian community in Paris?
I'm sorry that I don't have the answer to that question. There are about 300,000 Armenians in France, but I don't know the number at that time.
They weren't persecuted by the Nazis, were they?
They were not particularly, but I met one woman whose father was a prominent member of the Armenian community who she was like a five-year-old child with Armenian child with blonde hair and blue eyes, and she was trotted around to various Nazi offices as proof that the Armenians were actually Aryan.
Well, most Armenians are dark-haired.
Yes.
They're Southern Asian people, and are Turkic people, aren't they? Or similar to the Turks, who, of course, were responsible for the genocide.
Because
they were Christian, was that the big problem?
They were, you know, ethnic. Being ethnically Armenian is different than being ethnically Turkish. The language is different. The culture is different. The religion is different.
Did you live in Paris?
When I was a student and the year after I graduated, I lived in Paris for once for 6 months, another time for a year.
But did you draw upon that experience and your personal experience growing up in an Armenian community in Massachusetts?
Well, it's very funny. I felt like, which happened when my first book came out, and I went around doing, it had been published in a few languages, and I went to the Netherlands, and I went to Germany and did events, and the Armenian community came out, and it was always this sensation of the faces were the same as the people in my church. The stories were very similar.
I guess what I was leading to is the book features some pretty vivid characters, and I wondered if any of them were based on real people.
No, they're all invented.
How would you describe Maral Pagurian, your first-person narrator?
She's a very bright, sort of precocious 14-year-old when the book opens. She's super smart and ambitious academically, and neither of her parents have much education. I guess I wanted to convey this story of what had happened during the occupation from the point of view of a young girl, as she's growing up.
And at the end, she's 19 years old when the war...
She's 21. Uh-huh. Well, the book goes to 46, so she's 21.
And as we said, that you've woven the story of Misak Manouchian into the novel and named Miral's older brother after him. What's the relationship between Misak Pagurian and his father, Garabed?
The father is an Armenian genocide survivor, and he works as a cobbler. And the kids both start working in the family's cobbler shop in Belleville, from when they're quite young. And the idea is going to be that Misak should take over the store at the end, as he gets older. And he decides that he doesn't want to do that, that he doesn't want to spend his life at a cobbler's bench. And so there's a lot of tension between the father and the son.
The father claims to be an atheist, and there's the problem of whether his son should get married in a church.
Right, and there's also a problem of whether they should baptize the children. But all the women are very into the Armenian Apostolic Church, and they're the ones who prevail in getting everyone married and baptized.
Well, we're talking about people who also communists. Communists tended to be atheists. Did that split the Armenian community, which was held together largely through the fact that it has there's a unique Armenian approach to Christianity, isn't there?
There's the Armenian Apostolic Church, which is like Greek Orthodox, and there's the Armenian Evangelical Church, which is the one I was raised in, which is the result of New England missionaries going to the Ottoman Empire in the late 19th century. There's the Armenian Catholic Church. And actually, I would say that that the Pagurian father isn't a communist. He's a socialist, and he gets in a lot of fight with the communists in the neighborhood because he thinks Stalin is an assassin.
Well, which he was.
Right.
And Stalin wasn't all that nice to Armenians, was he?
Not particularly, no.
I get the feeling there's a split among women and men in the Armenian community about religion.
That's the case in this book and in this family, but I wouldn't say that that's necessarily generally the case in the Armenian community.
So let's talk about another aspect of your life. Has your personal experiences influence your involvement in an organization like Code Pink, Women for Peace?
Yeah, I would have to say that, growing up in the Armenian community under the shadow of the genocide has made me feel very sensitive to human rights issues, to be very sympathetic to the anti-war cause. And I think that that was partly why I got involved with Code Pink, Women for Peace.
Now, so what is Code Pink?
It's a grassroots peace and social justice organization that has most initiated by women, and it started in November 2002, before the Iraq War started.
Since the Armenians suffered from a genocide, were they supportive of Jews during the occupation?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm going to give a pitch.
Were they even aware of what was going on in the rest of Europe?
The Armenians in Paris, and in the book, they're aware. The Pagurian family is aware because their neighbors are literally being rousted from their Jewish neighbors are being rousted from their beds and rounded up and sent off to camps. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a very beautiful book that I just read by Vasily Grossman, who's a Soviet writer, just newly published translation of a memoir that he wrote of spending 2 months in Armenia in the early 1960s, where there's a beautiful scene where he talks about the Armenian peasants acknowledging the suffering that the Jews had gone through during the Holocaust.
Armenia still is a troubled country, at war often with one of its neighbors. Do you think that Armenians will ever just feel safe and relaxed? Or in the case of what's the tension in Asia, aren't the Armenians to some degree responsible for some of those problems?
I guess you're talking about Artsakh or Nagorno-Karabakh. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this whole history of things that went on under empire where boundaries were redrawn, people were transferred from one, you know, state to another. Look, you can look through the whole Middle East and you can look through the Caucasus and see that this happened. So that conflict has been between Armenia and the Azeris has been going on since Stalin redrew the map and put areas that were predominantly Armenian as part of Azerbaijan. So, but that's not an area of special expertise. I spent 10 years researching World War II, Armenians in World War II. I know a lot more about that.
So is that where your next novel is going to go?
No, my next novel, which is the fourth and final of my Armenian diaspora quartet, is going to be about Armenians in Beirut during the Civil War who immigrate to the States, you know, in the early 80s.
Because Beirut was one of the stopping off points.
A huge Armenian community.
When Armenians were pushed out of Turkey.
Right.
Nancy Krikorian's other novels are Zabel and Dreams of Bread, and Now We Have All the Light There Was. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for your interest.